Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalad, Chapter 29, Pek Choftes. We spoke in the last class that just like a person is a body and a soul, and we understand that the soul is more important than the body. The soul is the life force. The soul is where the intelligence resides. It's the soul is where all the deepest feelings and the deepest connections are in the soul. So somebody with a Torah also, the Torah is body and soul. So while the body of the Torah would be all the laws, all the books, all the different ideas and the thoughts, etc., but there's a soul to the Torah, which is the secrets of the Torah, which is the true hidden power of the Torah. That's the godliness in the Torah. Hashem himself shines through the Torah, and that's the hidden aspect of the Torah. That's what we have to realize, that when we're connecting with the Torah, we're not just connecting with it in the external sense. If you go up to a friend, you say, "Hello, how are you?" You're not just speaking to his body, you're speaking to the person who lies within the body. So similarly, when we connect with Torah, we connect with Torah at the very, very deepest level. And we're getting on to a new point now. We're just going to contrast for a few pages the concept of the difference between Torah and mitzvahs. V'nei razal amru, dorash Reb Nachman bar Yosi, ki ne'er mitzvah v'teiror. Reb Nachman bar Yosi interpreted the verse in Mishlei that says that a mitzvah is a lamp and Torah is light. Tola kosef is a mitzvah v'ner, so it hung the mitzvah on a lamp. A mitzvah is called a lamp, and the Torah is called light. We understand that lamp and light are not the same context. Lamp is something that's physical, something that's a lamp, something that you can see. Light is more of a something that's beyond this world. It's a concept. Light is more, you can see the sun, but you don't really see the light. You can enjoy the light because the light lights up the room, but you don't actually grasp light. And Torah is considered light as regards the mitzvah, which is only considered a lamp. To teach you, so just like a lamp burns and gives off light for a moment, for a while, turn on a lamp, but eventually it'll run out of oil, and run out of gas, or maybe the bulb will blow out. So in the same way, a mitzvah, we connect lamp with mitzvah, so simply a mitzvah only protects a person temporarily. And just like light, the concept of light is an eternal concept. So light lights up forever. Light itself is something that's eternal forever. Similarly, Torah is also something that protects a person forever. Umasik, and the conclusion over there in that teaching is the Torah beidnet asik bo megina umaslo. That Torah, at the time that a person engages in Torah, it protects a person and it saves a person. Beidnet deloy asik bo, when the person is not engaged in Torah, but he is a Torah scholar, he is a person who learns Torah, so then it protects, but it doesn't save. Mitzvah, a mitzvah on the other hand, a mitzvah ever, whether it's a time when you're actually engaged in the mitzvah or whether you're not engaged in the mitzvah, igune megin magne, it always protects. Atzule lo matzlo, however, it doesn't save. Right, so we said as follows, the difference as follows, the Torah, when you're engaged in Torah, so it protects you and it saves you. When you're not engaged in Torah, but you are a person who learns Torah, so then it protects you, but it doesn't save you. A mitzvah, so the mitzvah, whether you're engaged in the mitzvah or not, you always get protection from the mitzvah. But a mitzvah doesn't save you. The difference would be that Torah, when you engage in Torah, saves you, actually saves you, not just protects you from harm, but if you're already in trouble, it can actually save you from all sorts of troubles. Whereas mitzvah doesn't have that power. And also the Midrash says over there, the more insight over there, that a sin can extinguish. A sin can extinguish a mitzvah. But however, a sin can never extinguish Torah. So there we've got another difference between mitzvah and Torah. Also it's known in the Zohar, we know that the 613 mitzvahs parallel the 613 limbs and sinews of a person. The sinews are the joints, right? That which helps the body to function. You need limbs, and you need the sinews which ties the whole thing together. So when a person does a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, as he's fitting, so he sanctifies through that mitzvah the limb that's directed to that mitzvah. And as each mitzvah, each one of the 613 mitzvahs is in parallel to one of the limbs or one of the sinews. And when he does that mitzvah, so that has a direct effect on that limb or that sinew. And brings life to that organ. Or if it comes into his hand a mitzvah which he's going to fulfill by not sinning, as for instance, we have a mitzvah not to eat forbidden foods or not to speak forbidden speech. So a person has this opportunity to do something forbidden, and he fulfills the mitzvah nimna, and he withholds from doing the sin or perish v'lo yosa she'alav, and he did not do what he was supposed to do. You know, he didn't do that which he didn't transgress the mitzvah as he was supposed to do. I love Amruha Rizal. So about such a person, the sages say, Yoshev Odom Le'ovaveri, if a person sits and doesn't do a sin. Right? He's just passive. He's not actually doing anything, but he's just not doing the wrong thing. He's just being passive. He's not eating the forbidden food. He's not speaking the forbidden word. He's not doing the forbidden action. He's just being passive. But just in terms of being passive, the fact that he doesn't do the sin, he gets reward like he's done a physical action. Right? The action, that by withholding himself from sinning is like he's done the action of doing a mitzvah. And therefore he purifies and he sanctifies that sinew, that part of his body, which is directed to that particular mitzvah. Now that mitzvah which parallels that sinew, or that part of his body. Mechaye oisen, he brings life to that part of his body. Moshe Omer HaKosov, like the Pasuk says, Eila mitzvahs asher yose adama, asher yose oisem adam. These are the mitzvahs that a person shall perform them. And then the verse concludes, it says, V'chai bohem. Through doing the mitzvah means not doing a sin, is also called doing a mitzvah. Through doing the mitzvahs, he will live through them, because it gives life. Each mitzvah gives life to that organ, to that limb, or to that sinew that parallels that mitzvah. She'azhu nikra ish chai. Amnam, however, that's all in terms of mitzvahs. We said that each one of the mitzvahs gives life to a certain part of the body, and that's life that it would extend even beyond this world. Amnam, kasha'adam oisik b'torah, when a person engages in Torah, k'siv bo l'chol b'sor marpe. It says about Torah that it heals the entire flesh. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. Moshe Omru Hash Beroishu. Moshe is an Eruim. A person's got a headache. His head is sore. Yasuk b'Torah. So he says, all right, you've got a headache. Go learn Torah. That'll heal your headache. Shinema ki livyas chaynem l'roishecha. There's a verse that says that it's something that accompanies your head. It actually makes your head feel good. So learning Torah is good for your head. So you've got a sore head, learn Torah. Hash b'groin. A person's got a sore throat. Yasuk b'Torah, let him engage in Torah, Shinema, etc. And the other verse is that it heals the throat, it heals all different parts of the body. Chash b'vnei meyov, and goes on and says he has a sore stomach, his stomach is sore. Right? Yasuk b'Torah, let him engage in Torah. Chash b'kol gufoy, his whole body is sore. Yasuk b'Torah, even if his whole body is aching, his whole body is sore, let him engage in Torah, Shinema, as the verse says, l'chol b'sarim marpe, the entire flesh is healed by Torah. B'kevin, a number of other sources brings the same idea that the Torah has the ability to heal the entire body. That through the Torah, through engaging in the Torah, one sanctifies and purifies all of his limbs and all of his sinews. In other words, even though specific mitzvahs would help for specific limbs and sinews, but the Torah heals the entire body. It's something much, much more powerful from a much higher world, and that will heal the entire body at once. Right? That's why the sages have said that the study of Torah parallels all mitzvahs. Right? A person does a mitzvah, he has a mitzvah. He does another mitzvah, he has another mitzvah. But when he learns Torah, he has all 613 mitzvahs. He has all the mitzvahs included in the study of Torah. Now, the opposite is also true.
Avon Betel Teiru Gam Ken Kenegat Kulam. The sin of not learning Torah, nullifying opportunities to learn Torah, that parallels all of the sins. Person does a sin, he's done an individual sin, but if he doesn't learn Torah, it's like he's done all of the sins. He's transgressed all the sins together. Because when he transgresses one of the commandments of Hashem, nifgam rak usa'ev, that only blemishes that particular limb, or hagil, that particular sin you levad, and huva negdo, that sin or that mitzvah that he didn't do, let's say there was a positive mitzvah he didn't do, or was a negative mitzvah that he did do, so there'll be a certain limb or a certain sinew that would be damaged by that sin. Shachiyu shel hakedusha v'or elyon soit hashem. Shame Havaya, because the life force of holiness and upper light, the light that comes from the heavens, so Shame Havaya is the secret of the name of Havaya, the secret of Hashem's name, Asheri al Kol Eva, which dwells, which pours light into every single limb. Mestalegas Menachas V'Shalom. So therefore, if he's not doing a certain mitzvah, a mitzvah comes his way, which sends a life force to that particular limb. So therefore, he doesn't do the mitzvah, he transgresses the mitzvah, and that life force is cut off from that particular limb. And the death of the sotan takes its place, because we've got Hashem as the source of life, and we have the sotan as the source of death. So therefore, if Hashem moves out, so the sotan moves in. Right? It's like the balabos moves out of his house, so the squatters move in. They see the doors open, they move in straight away. So the sot moves in straight away, and therefore he's cutting off that limb from its life source. Venase balmum chosim yisrael, becomes someone who's blemished, he's missing that particular limb. The Chofetz Chaim we know speaks in Shmiras Loshon about that a person who speaks, who's accustomed to speaking Loshon Hora, he's a bal Loshon Hora, he's always speaking Loshon Hora. So it comes out that he is damaging his tongue. And that's the sin of the tongue is parallel to the limb of the tongue. So in the world to come, he'll be a mute. He won't be able to speak. So imagine what a shame and embarrassment that would be. That he'll be in the world to come, which is the world where the world of spirituality, the world of Torah, speaking Torah and learning Torah, and he won't be able to participate. He'll be a mute because he's damaged his tongue to such an effect. He's lost his tongue. Maybe in this world he's still got his tongue. He still continues to talk Loshon Hora right through to 120. But in the world to come, he loses. That's what the Chofetz Chaim explains. Aval ba'avo in bitl teirich has v'sholem. However, when a person is not learning teirich has v'sholem, who poigem is kol evoro v'gidov, he blemishes all of his limbs and all of his sinews. The kol koi chos of kulam, all of his forces, all of his powers, v'chiyus ha'kedusha shel kol aguf v'slaleches, and the life force, the holy life force of the entire body is removed. V'hu nase taketh kemes mamish, he becomes like a corpse immediately. He's like a corpse of either. He's still walking and talking, but he's like already a corpse. Spiritually, he's dead. Right, so the Gemara says that Roshoyim Nikroim Mesim B'chayim. The wicked people are called as if they're dead, even in their lifetime. They're already dead. They're going through the motions, but they basically lost their connection. And so sometimes you see a lizard that gets its head cut off, but it's still gyrating. So it's still a chicken with lost its head is running around. But if a person's lost the spiritual life force, it's not going to take very long before it's for him to lose everything. Why he loses everything? Unless he does tshuva, Hashem gives him extra time, gives him an extra opportunity. But if he doesn't do tshuva, then finally that's it. He basically cuts himself from his life force. Who now to take it mace mamish, he becomes mamish, he's mamish like a dead person. He has no life forces at all. As it says about the Torah, that this is your life. So you're letting go of life. Person's hanging on to dear life, right? It's a person's on a machine that's keeping him alive, and they pull the plug out. So that's if the same thing. The Torah is our life. You have to hang on to Torah. Moshe Amru Chazal, like our sages says, "May dichsiv betase odem kidgeh hayom." Right? There's a verse in Habakkuk which says that man is like the fish in the sea. So our sages ask, it's a more in Avodah Zarah. The sages ask why. Does it compare man to the fish in the sea? Lama nimshul ibn adam ledigah hayam? Why are men, why are people compared to the fish in the sea? Lo imelecho, to teach you. Ma dogim shaviyam kevin shaposhim in amayim miyad meisim. What that with fish in the sea? When you take them out into dry land, immediately they die. Kach bnei adam, so too with people. Kevin shaposhim in atoim. Once you separate them from the Torah, miyad meisim, they die. You take a fish out of the water and it dies. Take a person away from Torah, he's dying. Kach yigirsas hayalkut chabokuk remes takusav. Now that's how it's brought in the Yalkut Habakkuk. And the Zohar also says Parshas Shmini, Manune Yamech Yusin B'Maya, just like the fish. The Zohar says the same idea, just like the fish, their life force is specifically in the water. Of Talmidei Chacham, so to Torah scholars, Bale Mishnah Chiyusin B'Torah. Those who learn the Torah of the Hashem, those who learn the Chumash and the Gemara and the Mishnah, their life force is the Torah. That's actually what's keeping them alive. But in Yifradim in HaTorah, and if they'll separate themselves from Torah, Miyad Mesim, immediately they will die. This is what our sages said, Imroi Odom, Shiyasurim Boy Malav. If a person sees afflictions creeping closer to him and closer to him, he sees troubles coming his way, Yifashfresh V'maisav. It says that he must examine his deeds. Pishpesh V'loi Motzah says, look, what happens if he searches his deeds? If he finds nothing wrong, he searches his deeds, he says, no, everything's fine. V'loi Motzah, Yisle B'tel Teres. So then what it says, if he's checked all his deeds, if a person sees tzoros coming his way, a lot of troubles coming his way, he should check his deeds. If he checks his deeds and he finds nothing wrong, so he must say that it's because of Bittul Torah. It must be because he's not learning Torah enough. Now there's a question here. Seemingly this Gemara is unbelievable. Doesn't make sense. Because if this person really is sinning by not learning Torah, he didn't find any sins. What did we say? He sees trouble coming his ways. He checks his deeds. He finds no sins. What do you mean he finds no sins? He's not learning Torah. It says, and if he finds no sins, then he should say it's because he's not learning Torah. But why didn't he find that the first time he started looking? Huh? He says he checks his deeds and he sees that he's not learning Torah. He should have found it straight away. What do you mean? If he finds nothing, then he has to say it's because of Torah. So what's Pshat in the Gemara? How does the Gemara say, if he finds no sins, then he must say it's because of Torah? However, Rashi is already prepared. When you see the Rashi commentary over there, Rashi actually tells us how to learn the Gemara. The Meshav Perisham explains that Shalei Motza Avon Shiruim Haisuim Balole Lavoy Alov. Rashi says it's talking about that he can't find a sin for which it's fitting that these troubles should come on him. It says he's got troubles with some part of his body, and that part of his body is linked to certain mitzvahs. And he can't find any fault in terms of those mitzvahs. He can't find any reason why he's suffering in this area of his life in terms of the mitzvahs that are connected to that area of his life. And the reason is because the attribute of Hashem, right, the way Hashem treats us, in our lives, is he acts with us measure for measure. You know, in the area where the person sins, that's the area that normally has to suffer, in that same area. That particular limb that sinned and blemished itself, it hurt itself with a certain sin. On that limb itself, he brings suffering. And the reason for that, in other words, let's say a person sinned with his hand, so then the tzoros comes to his hand, he has troubles with his hand. And the intention of Hashem in doing this is Kedeshem Yitrecha Yisrim Yovin Adam, so that from his suffering he'll understand what his issue is. He sees where the suffering is coming, he sees in which area the suffering is coming, so he'll understand that's the area of his mistake, of his sin. He should know which sin it's coming on. And then if he'll realize which area of his life he has been sinning in, he will immediately take it to heart and he will confess his sin, and then he'll commit himself not to do that anymore. He'll commit himself to not sinning anymore. And if he does a proper tshuva, then it's going to heal. And the problem is in this area. He realizes it's because he's sinning in this area. He'll stop doing that sin, and in that area will suddenly everything will work out. The problem that he had will disappear. Now, that we said, if a person sees tzoros coming his way, he should examine his deeds. He should understand what he's been doing wrong from the type of suffering he's had. He should understand in which area he's been sinning. The impishpesh, and if he did examine himself, and he can't find any sin, and he can't see. He says, let's say he's suffering in certain limb in his body, but he checks all his sins. There's no sin that's related to that limb. There's nothing to do. Maybe he's got other problems, but in terms of that limb, there's been no sin at all. There's no way for him to connect things that he might be doing wrong with that particular limb. So he can't understand why this particular limb is suffering. That these sins should be coming specifically on this area of his life. Mida connected Mida. Hashem works always measure for measure. So measure for measure, what is the connection with the suffering that he's suffering? So then, Gemara says, Yisle b'bitl te. Then you should say, it's because he's not learning enough. Ki ba'avon b'bitl te, lo yishach Mida connected Mida. Because if once a person is sinning in b'bitl teira, there's no measure for measure. Because when a person doesn't learn Torah as he should, that affects the entire body. So you don't know when it's going, where it's going to come up. The whole body is now affected. If his sin is, he can't realize why he's suffering in this limb. But if his sin is not learning Torah, so that could affect any part of the body. It affects the entire body. But it could be it's just come up in this area. But he can't say, he can't say it because it's a certain limb. Because if it's Betel Torah, then that's the entire body. The bitl of the Torah, that affects the entire body, whichever place it might be, whichever limit might be. And the reason for this is, as we wrote before in Shar Aleph Perek Vav, because the reason is as follows. Because the source, which is the upper root of all of the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs come from somewhere. Where do the mitzvahs come from? They have a root. There's a root, a very heavenly, high heavenly root of all of the mitzvahs. All of the mitzvahs come from a certain source, right, which is a certain root. Tluyas v'kshuras b'soyed ha-shiur koyma. And they're all connected to what's called the shiur koyma, the form of the man. And as we know, that the upper worlds are created in the form of a man. They're high worlds and low worlds. And they're all in the form of man. Just like a man's form, there's a head and there's a body and there's arms, there's limbs, there's arms, there's legs. So therefore, all the upper worlds are arranged in the form of a man. So therefore, all of the mitzvahs, which are also in the form of a man, because we said that the mitzvahs parallel the different limbs of the body, so that form of that man also has its life force. So they're attached to that form, which is their life force. He also calls them the different aspect, the different parts of the chariot. The divine chariot also is parallel to the form of a man, the form of the upper man. Which is the secret of the force of man, right? The force of the universe, which is also in the form of a man. So it comes out as far as that each individual mitzvah, each specific mitzvah, so each mitzvah is linked to this higher form. It's even higher than the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself was really a manifestation. It's already something that's come down from a very high world, which is some part of this form, which is called Shiur Koima, right? This form of this man. And so too is the entire person. So at a high level, we have there's a concept of that all the entire universe, the entire spiritual universe, is all created in the form of a man. And that's why we call the spiritual universe the great man. The great man. Conversely, we call a man a small world. Each person is a small world in and of himself. But the entire universe is in the form of a man. So therefore, all of the mitzvahs are also attached to that form of a man. And a person himself, in terms of the different limbs of a person's body, is also paralleled. In other words, it comes out that it's going through those mitzvahs. Because those mitzvahs are according to that pattern of the form of a man. And the person himself, way down in this world, thousands and thousands of worlds later, the way that's come down into this world, it's descended into this world, and is also in the form of man. But it's coming through those channels, which is the same channels that the mitzvahs are using to get to the original form of the man. So what he explains is as follows. The entire person, shugamken besukan besuda, the order of a person, right, the different aspects of a person, b'chol evora v'gidov, all of his limbs, all of his sinews, who prick up all the different parts of himself, called prate koichusov, all the details of his different forces, the person, the different energies, different forces, different abilities, different talents. People have different talents, and some talents they're stronger than other people, some talents they're weaker than other people. Each person has his own set. He's got his own personality set, arrangement of personality traits, and different strengths, personal strengths, which are less physical. Just like there's the physical aspect of the man, there's the more hidden aspect of the man, which is the personality more, the more the personality traits, the personality strengths and weaknesses, the different talents. So we've got that every mitzvah parallels a certain limb or sinew of this, of the details of this person. Omnam, however, HaTorah Kedusha, the Holy Torah, Hikolelis HaYulomis Kulam, however, the Holy Torah is higher, it's even higher than the form of this man. It's from a higher place than the form of this man. L'chein Hishkula Neged Kulam Mitzvah, and therefore the Torah itself is is the opposite. It's against. Right? It includes into itself in all the mitzvahs, because it's a source that's even higher than the form of this man. And if it's all coming from the Torah, all the entire energy, all of the energy which is forming this man, which is coming down in the form of mitzvahs and coming down in the form of people who live in this world, is all from the Torah. It all starts at the uppermost root, which is the Torah itself. L'chein hi gam kein l'chol basar merapeh, and that's why it can heal all of the flesh, because it's the source of the source. Right? Let's say, for instance, you go to visit your doctor, and the nurse says, "No, the doctor's away today." Right? He's whatever. He couldn't come to work today. But you know what? You can go see the doctor's doctor. You can see the doctor's professor. You know, you're going to the source itself. So therefore, normally we go to the mitzvahs. It's not helping us to go to the mitzvahs. So we're going to the source of the mitzvahs. We're going to the Torah, and the Torah can heal all things. Perek Lamed, chapter 30. And also there's another advantage that Holy Torah has. That there's additional light and there's additional holiness. More so than all the mitzvahs together. The Torah not only does it parallel all of the mitzvahs, the Torah itself is more than all of the mitzvahs. It's much, much more holier, it's much more powerful, it's much stronger. Even if a person fulfills all 613 mitzvahs, and he does them in a perfect way, because there's a better way to do a mitzvah, and there's a superior way of doing mitzvahs and an inferior way of doing mitzvahs. If a person does a mitzvah in a full way, so even if a person does all the mitzvahs in a very full way, what would be an example of doing it in a full way? It's he does it with concentration, he does it with a lot of focus, he does it with all of the details, he does it with precision. And he does it with a love for Hashem, and he does it with a fear for Hashem, and he does it with joy. All of those things add to mitzvahs. And even if a person will do all the mitzvahs in the most perfect way possible, the chol pateim dikdukein, with all of the details and all of the specifics, the kavona tahara kedusha, with the holiest of intentions and with purity, the person will do all the mitzvahs in the most perfect way possible, then all of his limbs and all of his different aspects of himself and all of his strengths, all his abilities, will all become a mekava gemura, will become a complete chariot. There's a concept of a person himself becoming a chariot. Because it says, like what it says about the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they were considered a holy chariot to Hashem, which means the divine presence rested in them. But when a person is a perfect being, he's doing his maximum, which is his perfection. A person's perfection is to do his best. That is the maximum. A person's doing his best is doing his maximum. So when he becomes what he's considered a chariot needs a passenger, just like a car needs a passenger to sit in the car. So a person becomes a chariot for the divine presence. The divine presence actually rests on a person, the person himself. So that would be the product of a person who does all of the mitzvahs. They will dwell on him, the upper holiness of all the mitzvahs together. In kol zeh, even so, even this person who's doing all the mitzvahs to such a perfect degree, and orich v'dimyon klal kedushas u'yir hamitzvahs, there's no comparison at all. There's no way of weighing at all the holiness and the light of all of the mitzvahs, the goydel oitzim kedushas u'yir Torah kedusha, to the greatness and the power and the holiness of the light of the Torah. The light of the Torah is just so, so much more powerful. Even though he's done all the mitzvahs in the most perfect way, it can never the light of the mitzvahs, the power of the mitzvahs, the holiness of the mitzvahs can never match the light of the Torah. That light, the light that pours down on a person who's engaged in Torah, is something so, so much, much more powerful. He raises Daka B'Kodesh, because the whole beginning of the creation of the world, the whole intention of the whole of creation, in terms of the holiness, is much, much higher. Is much, much higher from the root of the holiness and the upper light of all of the mitzvahs together. All the mitzvahs all together, all fitted together. It's a total unit where the whole 613, just like all the 613 mitzvahs, is all the limbs and all the sinews. Everything comes together to make the perfect man. So too, all the mitzvahs coming together to make the perfect being is much, much lower from the light of the Torah. That's why it says about learning Torah that it enlarges a person, it makes a person greater, and it elevates him over all actions. Right? Over all actions, meaning of all actions of mitzvahs. the learning of Torah actually elevates a person much, much more than the performance of mitzvahs, even at the highest levels. Mahainu, I'll call Maisa Mitzvahs Kulon. Learning Torah elevates a person beyond all of the mitzvahs together. V'chein Amu B'Yushalmi, this is a very famous Yushalmi, Perek Aleph of Peah. That all of the mitzvahs together don't equal even one word of the Torah. A single word of the Torah is more than all 613 mitzvahs. And the Vilna Gaon goes through, he makes the whole calculation. The Chofetz Chaim also brings the Vilna Gaon, that if a person, let's say, sits and learns Torah, and he says an average person who sits down to learn says 200 words a minute. Just regular reading is about 200 words a minute. And each one of those 200 words is worth 613 mitzvahs. Even one word of Torah is like all 613 mitzvahs. So a person who reads, let's say 200 words a minute, let's say for us 100 words a minute, whatever. Right? He has 100 times 613. He's got thousands and thousands of mitzvahs. Imagine how many mitzvahs he has in an hour. Imagine how many mitzvahs he can have in a day. If every single word of the Torah is like 630 mitzvahs, it's unbelievable. So just the realm of it, just the whole scale of it. It's a different scale completely. It's a totally different scale. Began ki kedushas v'or ha-mitzvah she'tir tashkin oryo shel oisa dova v'chofetz, and also the holiness of the light of a mitzvah which will rest, that its light will rest on that object. Right, so for instance, let's say you take an object which you use for a mitzvah. You take an esrog. Take an esrog to do the mitzvah of the four species on Sukkot. You take an esrog and a lulav, you take your arovis and your adasim, asher bo. So therefore, the holiness will also come on that object. Asher bo ve'al yodei tasei mitzvah. Through this object, a mitzvah is performed. Einu shor yaleim rak lefi shaito. It only will dwell on it for that moment. Esha mitzvah is nice as them. A person takes a lulav esrog to do the mitzvah. At the moment he's doing the mitzvah, there's a holiness of the object itself. The object itself is imbued by holiness. But once he's done the mitzvah and he puts them down, that light, that holiness goes away from them completely. It doesn't remain in them. They don't trap that holiness in it. If you've performed a mitzvah with an esrog, after Sukkot you can make esrog jam out of it. There's no holiness remaining in the object. There's a holiness in the performance of the mitzvah. The holiness comes down, it's within the esrog itself. But the minute the mitzvah has been performed, the esrog just goes back to being a regular esrog. The holiness is removed immediately. It goes back to what it was before. But when it comes to the Holy Torah, called Mokum Shet Tazriya for Tufiya Oira, wherever the light of the Torah shines, and wherever the light of the Torah appears, the Kedushos and the holiness of the Torah appears, even once. If there's a place where Torah has come even once, Kedushos Oilam Tiyaboy, that is sanctified forever, for eternity. Where the Torah has come in and touched something, the holiness of the Torah, if it touches something, that's eternal. It's not like a mitzvah. A mitzvah, where the mitzvah touches an object, the minute the mitzvah is gone, so the object goes back to being mundane. But wherever the Torah has touched something, then the holiness is forever. And Nisha Tommy Bikdushosu. It remains in its holiness for all time. Kemosha Shanina Vraisa, like we learned in a Braisa in Gemara Megillah Chofvav on Medeis, Tashmisha Mitzvah and Nizrokim Achashinazi Mitzvosin. Like those items that you used for a mitzvah, you throw them away after you fulfilled the mitzvah. Let's say, for instance, you've got tzitzis on your garment, you see they're looking a little tattered, a little bit worn, you want to replace them. So you take off the old tzitzis, you buy new tzitzis, you replace them. What do you do with the old tzitzis that you took off? You can throw straight in the garbage. You shouldn't show such disrespect to a mitzvah. You should put it in maybe in a plastic bag, but you still put it in the garbage. It doesn't have a holiness. It doesn't have to be in a gneza. You don't put it away. You don't bury it in the ground. It doesn't have holiness. It's done its mitzvah. You wore these tzitzis for a few years. Now you've taken them off the garment, so you don't need it anymore. So now you can throw it away. However, when you've got something like tefillin, or you've got something like mezuzah, so there they put it amongst those things that were used for kedusha, for holiness, machnas parshas, only because of the parshas. How does the tzitzis different from tefillin? Because tefillin has parshas in it. It's got parshas of the Torah. It's got the manuscripts with the words of the Torah. So therefore, even if you've had that, if you had the, let's say you took the parshas out of the tefillin boxes, you've only got the boxes now. You took the parshas out of the tefillin, they retain that holiness. That's forever. So tefillin, you can't throw in the garbage. Tefillin have to be properly buried. They have to be put in proper gneza.